Today we're going to start at the very, very bottom of Kaf Dalet Amud Bet. We're going to finish up the parak. We're going to do the first Mishnah of the next parak, and then we're going to start that, and we're going to basically be finishing up almost the Kiddush HaChodesh section. We have a seam already next week. Quick. Right, like in a week and a half. And then we're going to get into Shofarot and all that. Okay, so we're really closing up this topic. And it's a great end, because what they're going to do today is really discuss all the interesting issues of the halachic, how the authority, and when Chachamim were koveya something that's not necessarily true, and we're going to get to the famous story we discussed about Rav Gamliel and Rav Yehoshua, and bring your makel and your tamil, and on the day that you think it's Yom Kippur, we're going to see the background to it, and we're going to see the debates that there were, and it's very interesting. Okay, starting at the Mishnah. Ma'aseh shebao shnayim v'amru, ri'inu shacharit b'mizrach, v'arvit b'ma'arav. If they say we saw, in the morning, we saw the moon in the Mizrach, in the east, and in the Arvit, we saw it in the Ma'arav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, edei sheker hem. Okay, these are false witnesses, because it can't be the case that you saw the new moon on one side in the morning, and on the other side in the afternoon, in the night. Kishabau liyavne, kiblan Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel said, no, we accept these witnesses. Ve'od ba'u shnayim ba'amru rinu bizmano u'belel iburo lo nireh. Then there's another case. If two witnesses come and they say we saw it in the right time, you know, meaning the night of the 30th, u'belel iburo lo nireh, but the next night we didn't see it anymore. Right? We saw the new moon and then we didn't see it. So what might you think? That they saw the old moon, really, thinking it was the new moon, right? So you would think if they didn't see it the next night, it would be a problem. B'kiblan Rabban Gamliel. But Rabban Gamliel said, no, we can accept these witnesses. Now, why can you accept them? Because sometimes you just don't see the moon, right? Sometimes it could be covered, it could be cloudy. So he says, if they saw it, they actually saw it. We don't then say the next day when it's not seen that we erase what they saw the day before. So he accepted them. You can also imagine, we're going to see, Rabban Gamliel is very strong about setting... The authority, right? The Beit Din decided, it decided. If you imagine that one day they see the new moon, the Beit Din decides this is Rosh Chodesh, the next night nobody sees it, they're going to then erase, you know, wipe out what the Beit Din did, that's going to cause a whole problem of, oh, well, the Beit Din obviously is making mistakes, and right. This is really what's at play today. We're really going to talk about how do we keep the central authority of the Beit Din and the respect for the Beit Din, while also trying to keep to truth, but trying to keep to... It's always the conflict between absolute truth and the... Right, what the rabbis decide. And how much power they have to decide that it might be against the truth. Where in this case, it's not clear it's against the truth, but in any case, he says we accept it. Amar Bidosa ben Horkinas, Ede Shekerhim. These are false witnesses. If they came and said, we saw the new moon, the next night, nobody sees it, right? What happens? Witnesses come, they say they saw the new moon, we don't really know, and then the next night, everybody looks out and nobody even sees the moon. So it must have been, he says, that these were false witnesses who testified yesterday. So he says, right, they're using the analogy of the moon to a woman, right, and the hikadshut, as we know that connection. So anyway, they say, right, it's like saying a woman was they had a baby, and then the next day she's pregnant. Right, which actually some people do say, right? Because sometimes women do look pregnant the day after they have a baby. Right, there's always those stories of the mother who comes home from the hospital and the kids say, you're having another baby. Makes the mother feel really bad. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, ro'eh ani et varecha. Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Dosa, and here we're going to see the recap for the story. He says to Rabbi Dosa, I agree with you. It makes a lot of sense. You're right. These must be edei sheker. Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel. So now what happens? You have Rabban Gamliel who says we accept these witnesses. Rabbi Dosa says we don't accept these witnesses. And Rabbi Yeshua, who is in a more position of power than Rabbi Dosa, basically says, I accept your opinion, Rabbi Dosa. And these must be false witnesses, and therefore The 30th wasn't Rosh Chodesh. The 31st was Rosh Chodesh. And clearly we were talking about Tishrei. Shalach l'Rabban Gamliel, gozrani alecha shetavo etzli b'maklecha u'b'ma'utecha b'yom ha'kippurim shechal liyot b'cheshboncha. I declare that you must come to me carrying your makel and your stick and your money on Yom HaKippurim according to your cheshbon. Okay. Halachu mitza'o Rabbi Akiva Metzer. Rabbi Akiva finds Rabbi Yeshua very upset because Rabbi Yeshua really believes that this is going to be Yom Kippur. And how could he possibly go to Rabban Gamliel with his makel and his ma'od? And Amar lo, Yesh l'lumod shekoma sha'asa Rabban Gamliel asoy. And here's a very powerful statement. Shene'amar ele mo'ade Hashem mikra'i kodesh ashir tikru'otam. Bein bizmanam, bein shelo bizmanam. Ein li mo'adot ela elu. Nikuda. So what does he say? A very powerful statement. He says, that we need to learn that anything that Rabban Gamliel does, because he was the Nasi, is done. Okay? Why? Because the Pasuk says, Eilam Moadei Hashem Krei Kodesh Asher Tikru Otam. You should call these your Moadim, whether it's the right time or whether it's the wrong time. It doesn't make a difference. Ein li ela Moadot Eilu. These are the Moadot that we have. In other words, there is no Yom Kippur according to what you're saying. Because what you're saying, you might be right, and it might be the case, and they might be Edei Sheker, but it doesn't matter. Because there's reality, and there's halachic reality. And that's what's interesting here. That whatever Rabban Gamliel said, since he's the Nasi, becomes the new reality. And that's halachic reality. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva makes this amazing statement. That whatever he says is now the truth. The truth starts from there. Okay? Balo etzel Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkanus. Amar lo, im ba'im anu ladun achar beit dino shel Rabban Gamliel, tzrichim anu ladun achar kol beit dinu beit din shama miyemot Yoshua va'ad achshav. Okay, he's saying if you're going to start up with that, right? You're going to basically start up with every beit din shama miyemot Moshe va'ad achshav. Shene'emar, v'ya'al Moshe va'aron, nadav v'avihu v'shivim yizikne Yisrael. V'lama lo nitparshu shmotan. Okay, here they're giving another interesting drasha. When they went up, it was Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Abihu, and 70 Mizikne Israel. Now it says, why don't they tell us the names of this kini? Now you might say, oh, boring to hear the names of this kini. But how many times in the Torah do we hear the names of all the people, right? We get lists upon lists upon lists. Torah's not scared of writing lists of names. So why don't they tell us? Elelamed shekol shlosha u'shlosha sha'amdu beitin al Yisrael harehu kebeitin yosha Moshe. This Kenim, if they started telling us the names, then we'd start comparing. Oh, well, we're not as good as that guy was, and we're not as knowledgeable as he was. So therefore, it doesn't tell us the names to tell you that any three people that work as a Beit Din, they have the strength of Beit Din Osho Moshe. Okay, so first Rabbi Akiva kind of mechazek oteo, and then he goes to Rabbi Dosa, who actually had this opinion, and Rabbi Dosa also strengthens him and says, listen, this is what it's all about. We have a system of law, and the system can create a new reality, and they have the power, even if they're not as great as Moshe, even if maybe they're going to make mistakes, or I would say they are going to make mistakes, right? We're just human, and human, there's always room for mistakes. So what happens? Natal maklo ma'utav biyado v'halach liyavne etz Rabban Gamliel b'yom shechal yom ha'kippurim liyav b'cheshbono. Okay? He goes, you can almost...
Feel his pain,
right? It says, he took his makel, he took it, right? He goes to Yavne. They're telling you all the details to kind of feel how difficult this must have been, right? He goes to Yavne. You can imagine him walking there, right? How painful it must have been for him, that walk. Okay. Amar, and here's the best ending of the story. Amar Rabban Gamliel u'nishako al rosho. And he kissed him on his head. Amar lo, Bo b'shalom Rabbi v'talmidi. Okay, come in peace, my rabbi and my talmid. Okay? Rabbi b'chokhma v'talmidi shekibalta et varai. He says, really magia lecha, right? Not only have you taught me things in general, in other words, you're a brilliant student, you're a brilliant rabbi, but also you're my talmid and you've understood that it's not enough to be a chacham, but it's important sometimes to accept the words of others. And he basically, right, you can see also, he kisses him on his head. I think also, what Rabban Gamliel, what was he trying to do? He was trying to, remember, we talked about this. It's after the Churban. Things are a little mivulgan, and people don't know what to do. And he's busy trying to strengthen the court system and say it's all about the courts. And yes, we don't have the Shekhinah anymore. And people, I'm sure, were saying, oh, there's no Shekhinah. A lot of the concepts were, oh, we have a Sanhedrin, and it's sitting in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore it must be God is with us, and God is directing us. And as soon as there's no Sanhedrin in the Beit HaMikdash, I'm sure people were concerned, how do we know really that the Beit Din has the power on their own without being in the Beit HaMikdash, without the Shekhinah? And he's trying to set up a system. So here, it's a great win for him that Rabbi Yoshua basically does what he says. And it's not enough for him to have done it, but Rabban Gamliel wants to make a public gesture. Right? First of all, he clearly made him come to him in public, right? Because he wanted everyone to see. He said, you come to me with all your stuff, so everyone will see, and nobody will have a doubt in their minds that it's Rabban Gamliel who's deciding and not Rabbi Yoshua. And also, the issue being that he wants everyone to see, now look, Rabbi Yoshua did what I said, and likewise, you're all to do what I say. I saw something, yeah.
I was going to say also, the fact that he came also, it showed that he accepted it.
Yes.
It's not just that Rabban Gamliel put it on him, but he also accepted it.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I meant. It's showing that, just like Rabbi Yoshua is accepting my authority, you should all follow his example and accept my authority, even if you disagree with me. Mm-hmm. It's exactly that. It's even if you don't agree with everything I say, look what Rabbi Yeshua did. He didn't agree with me, and he did it anyway. Right? And it was painful for him, and it was hard for him, but he did it. The other thing, just a side point, I always imagined that Rabbi Yeshua wanted to keep Yom Kippur on a different day. But according to some stuff I read, I don't remember who says this, but the it seems clear that he was going to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, which goes back to those people who were keeping 2 days. He obviously wasn't going to not keep Yom Kippur when everyone else was keeping Yom Kippur, but he wanted to be machmir al atzmo. It wasn't like he was saying, I don't believe your Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippur. He was going to do the Yom Kippur anyway. He was just going to do a second day because it was hard for him not to, mishum hasafek hazeh, right? Because of that doubt that maybe it was it. He wanted to be yotzei and also do it on the next day. It wasn't like he was even trying to go against and say, instead, I'm going to do Yom Kippur. But it was that he wanted to also keep Yom Kippur on that day because he felt like, this is the way I understand things. How could I possibly do it otherwise? And in general, we would let people be machmir. But in this case, Rabban Gamliel couldn't. Right? We saw that case where people were doing 2 days. Some people said, you can't, it's Mesukan. But let's say he felt he could do it. Right? Okay, you want to be machmir, you can be machmir, but in certain cases, we don't let people be machmir, because in certain cases, it makes a statement. It makes a statement that I'm not 100% accepting Rabban Gamliel's psak. And that was the issue. You know, again, because this issue of Kiddush HaChodesh was such a central issue, it really...
Well, it was key to unifying.
Yes.
Right.
It was very totally key to unifying. That was the big issue. Okay, Tanya. Amar lehem Rabban Gamliel l'chachamim. Kach mekublani mibeit avi abba. Pa'amim shaba ba'arukah, pa'amim shaba b'ktzara. Okay, sometimes the moon is longer and sometimes it's shorter. Okay, what does this mean exactly? First of all, there's a picture. If you want to look for a second in the back of the Gemara, is there. Not that it's totally understandable from the picture. But it's unclear. The Mepharshim aren't clear exactly what they're talking about. But it seems to be relating to this issue of seeing the moon in the morning on one side and then the next, and then at night on the other side, and the whole issue about it being Ede Sheker. So they say sometimes it's a longer maslul it takes, and sometimes it's a shorter maslul, or sometimes it takes more time, or sometimes it takes less time. There's different opinions about it, and that was, so Rabban Gamliel said, I have a mesoret. Remember what happened in the Mishnah? Two people came and said, we saw Chachamim in the Mizrach and Arif in Ma'arav, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said they're Edei Sheker. And Rabban Gamliel says, no, sometimes that could be the case. Sometimes it goes this way, sometimes it goes that way. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time, what's the reason that sometimes it could be? How do we know? He wants to find a pasuk. Debe Rebbe Dichtiv, Asa Yareach Lamoadim, Shemesh Yadam Mevo'o. Now this is a pasuk that's talking about Hashem. Okay, it's from Tehillim, and it says, Hashem makes the moon Lamoadim, for the holidays, And Shemesh, he knows its comings and goings, okay? So now they're saying it differently, though. They're saying it's not about God knowing, it's about man knowing. Shemesh hu diadam bevo'o. We know very well the path of the sun. But yareach lo yadam bevo'o. But the moon, it doesn't say yadam bevo'o, which means... right? Because it doesn't say we must infer the opposite. It only says about the sun that we know its path. So it must be the moon, we don't really know its path, and sometimes it changes. Okay. Rabbi Chia Chazia l'sihara, dehavakai b'tzafra, de'esrim v'tish'a. He saw the old moon, okay, that in the morning of the 29th, it was there. Shakal kala patakbe, he took a piece of dirt, and he I think he threw it up, right? Is that what it says?
He threw it at the moon.
Amar le'orta bi'ina l'kidushebach va'at kayemet hacha zil ichse. He says, what happened? Clearly, this was in Elul. And what happens in Elul? If we're going to make the 30th Rosh Chodesh, right, it's going to affect when all the holidays come out. Now, what was the problem? That year, if they didn't do it on the 30th, what was going to happen? Yom Kippur was going to end up connected to Shabbat. Now what happens, right? It's very obvious. If you don't do it on the 30th, well, you have to do it on the 31st. There's no choice. What happened? In the morning, he saw the old moon. Now what did we learn? It takes 24 hours, right, until you can see, right, once the molad happens. Forget, we still see the old moon. So he threw dirt at the moon. He said, cover yourself up. You can't be seen because we have to make Rosh Chodesh tonight. If we don't make Rosh Chodesh tonight, we're going to end up with two Yom Kippurs. Okay, so... go to Ein Tav, v'kadshe liyarcha, and go to Kiddush HaChodesh there. Now, some people say, okay, v'shalach lisimna David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayam, and send me a siman that you did it, and say David Melech Yisrael chai v'kayam. Okay, that should be our siman. So now, what happened? He basically, some people say Ein Tav is a place where there the moon wasn't seen in the morning. In other words, here you can't do it because here everybody saw the old moon in the morning. It's not possible. But in that place, it's I guess the way things were, they thought that the moon wouldn't be seen there, so go there and do it there. Some people say, no, that's where the Beit Din was, where they would do the Kiddush HaChodesh. And he was just telling them, go there and do it anyway, despite the fact. Okay, again, what are we seeing here? That the rabbis had the power to decide things against what was actually happening, okay? Against
really
the reality.
It's really the same now, because we have a fixed calendar. Yeah. And if we would go out and see the moon, it would be, isn't that the same now?
Yes, it's exactly the same now. Right, our calendar is based on...
Calculations.
It's somewhat based on... If you pay attention in shul, when they announce the molad, okay, now I want everyone to start paying attention. Now that we know what the molad is. Mm-hmm. And the molad means that the new moon can't be seen until 24 hours after the molad. Now, it's not always the case in our Rosh Chodesh, so we'll pay attention from now. But basically, the calendar is set based on calculations of the moon, connected with when we want the holidays to come out. Right? I'm sure you all noticed that the holidays come out on very particular days. They don't come out on any possible day. Right? Rosh Hashanah is, you know, there's Lo Adu Rosh and Lo Bidu Pesach. That means Lo, right? Lo Adu Rosh. Lo Bidu Pesach. Okay? It means Rosh Hashanah can never come out on Aleph, Dalet, or Vav. Okay? On Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. And Pesach can never come out on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. So that's a system because when you determine those days, that determines all sorts of other holidays for the entire year. So based on that, they fixed the calendar in a way that worked both with the moon and with that, and not always 100% with the moon. Okay? And it's all based on this pasuk of Elam Oadei Hashem Asher Tikru Otam Mikrei Kodesh, that you call them Mikrei Kodesh, and you have the power. And then the question is, and this is, I think, part of the debate that was going on then, how many things do we take into consideration? Right? In other words, can we take into consideration? Some people thought, no, you can't take into consideration. It has to be the truth. Some people thought, no, we can play with it. Okay. And then what's the problem? You know, how do you deal with it when there's two different opinions going on? And then you have Rabban Gamliel's story where he said we have to set very clearly who's in charge. Tana Rabbanan. Pam achat nitkashru shamayim ba'avim. Okay, here we have a story. You can see the picture also, where The sky was full of clouds, and it looked like the new moon. Okay, on the 29th. Kisvuim ha'am lemor Rosh Chodesh. Ubikshu beitim lekadesho. The people thought it was Rosh Chodesh, and the beitim went to be mekadesh lechodesh. Amar lehem Rabban Gamliel, kach mekublani mibeit avi abba, ein chidusha shel levana pchuta mi'asrim v'tisha yom v'mechza, u'shnei shlishei sha'a, ve'shiv'im v'shalosh, shlishosha chalakim. Okay, so now what happened? He said it can't possibly be that the new moon was seen on the 29th day, because it's not possible in the morning, right? Because we have a cloud that basically a month is going to be 29 days, 29 and a half days, two-thirds of an hour, and 73 chalakim. I forgot. Somebody wants to look it up. How much time a chalakim? It's like seconds or something. It's, I forget how many seconds is in a chalak, and it's 73 chalakim. Okay, if you ever notice in shul, they announce the molad, how many chalakim it is. Okay, it pays to check. I forget exactly how many seconds a chalak is. Voto yom, here we have another, right? Okay, this is again Rabban Gamliel trying to exert his authority. They all the people wanted to say, we saw the new moon. Okay, Rabban Gamliel says, no, it can't be. Oto yom meta imo shel ben Zaza. Okay, the mother of Ben Zaza. Okay, we don't know who Ben Zaza is, but his mother died. V'hispida Rabban Gamliel hespeg gadol. And he made a big, long hespeg for the mother of Ben Zaza. Lo mipnei she'ruya lekach. Not because she was some great woman who deserved this very long hespeg for Rabban Gamliel. Ela kidei she'yedu ha'am she'lo kidshu beidin et ha'chodesh. Okay, now, what's the issue here? Some of the Mefarshim say, right, I think the Mefarshim say here, if I remember correctly, that it was, it was Rosh Hashanah, okay? And since it was Rosh Hashanah, it was a Yantif, you can't make a Hespeg. Other Mefarshim say, why did Rashi have to say that? Because Rashi says it. She'emas b'din b'yom tov, okay? Why did Rashi have to say Yom Tov? Because we also have a minhag that we're not mispeed on Rosh Chodesh in general. So it could be even if it was just a regular Rosh Chodesh, but maybe that was a minhag that developed later. I don't know. I don't know the root of that minhag and how early it was. And maybe it wasn't a well-accepted minhag. But if you say it was Rosh Hashanah, wow, that, you know, he made a big hesped on Rosh Hashanah. Again, Rabban Gamliel using a public forum to exert his authority and say this is not the case. Halach Rabbi Akiva umitzao mitzar. Okay, Rabbi Akiva goes, he finds Rabbi Yeshua unhappy. Ibai Elihu. First, it's not clear. I explained it in one way, but the Gemara is not clear. Mi Meitzar, Rabbi Akiva Meitzar, or Rabbi Yeshua Meitzar? Who was the one who was sad? Was it Rabbi Akiva who was sad? And he found, right, Rabbi Yeshua found Rabbi Akiva sad about what happened? Or was it Rabbi Yeshua? Tashma, let's come and learn from this source, Ditanya. Halach Rabbi Akiva u'mitzao Rabbi Yeshua kashu meitzar. Ah, it says it explicitly in a braita. It was Rabbi Akiva went and found Rabbi Yeshua upset. Amar lo remin pnema ta meitzar. Amar lo, Akiva, ra'oi lo she'yipol mita yud bechodesh ba'al yigzor alai gzeirazo. He says, I'd rather be sick in bed for 12 months, which is obviously, you know, a very harsh, right? Nobody wanted to be sick in bed 12 months, certainly not in those days. Better that than to have to do what he wants me to do. In other words, for Rabbi Yeshua, you really feel his pain, right? We said we felt his pain in the Mishnah, but here it's even stronger. Says, I'd rather be sick in bed for 12 months than to have to do what he said. Amarlo, Rebbe, Tarsheni lomarlo panecha davar chad shelimaditani. Please let me tell you something that you once taught me. Amarlo,
Amarlo
emor. Amarlo emor. Yeah, thank you. He said, say. Okay, speak. Amarlo, harehu omer, atem, atem, atem. Okay, what's this? In the pasuk, Eile moade Hashem asher tikru otam mikrai kodesh. Okay, that's one atam, atem. There's Eile Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam. And there's one more Otam. Daber Abnei Yisrael V'Amarta Alehem Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru'u Otam Moadei Kodesh. Eilehem Moadei. Sorry, Mikrei Kodesh. Eilehem Moadei. Okay, one's in Vayikra Kaf Gimel Pasuk Bet, one's in Vayikra Kaf Gimel Pasuk Lamed Zayin, and one's in Vayikra Kaf Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Okay, three times it says Otam. Okay, but remember, we learned this before, they're Chaser. So they're Doresh Atem. Gimel Pa'amim Atem. Afilu shogegim, atem. Afilu mizidim, gimel pami. Atem afilu shogegim. Atem afilu mizidim. Atem afilu mutim. Okay? Whether you're shogeg, whether you're mezid, or whether you're mut'e. Okay? It doesn't matter. Even if they on purpose change the month. Even if they accidentally do it, and even if they do it as a mistake. There's a difference between shogeg and mistake, right? Shogeg, maybe you could have avoided it somehow, and mistake, maybe you really made a legitimate mistake. Belashon hazeh. Belashon amar lo Akiva nichamtani nichamtani. Okay, he said, okay, now I feel better. So again, right, Rabbi Yehoshua has to undergo this process where you can imagine his struggle, right? This process between knowing what he believes to be truth versus having to accept authority. You see, he's different than who's the other guy who doesn't accept truth, when right? It doesn't accept the rabbinic truth. What? In Tadarosh Alachnai, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, right? He can't accept the truth, and he goes against the rabbis, and they put him in Nidoy in the end. You know, and even a Bakal came from Shemayim and said he's right, but the rabbis, we went by what the rabbis said. Okay, that's a very famous story, and we go by what the rabbi said, and we don't follow the Bakal again, because even though a Bakal came down from Shemayim, we have to follow what the rabbis decide. Loba Shemayim, that's a very famous sugya there. We'll get to it in Baba Masiyah. We have a while. So anyway, he then says, fine, Akiva, nichamtani, nichamtani, I feel better. Balo etzel Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. Tana Rabbanan. Lama lo nitparshu shmotam shel zkenim halalu? Shelo yomar adam ploni kemoshe v'aharon. Lo yomar adam ploni kemoshe v'aharon. Ploni kenadav aviv. Ploni ke'eldad umedad. Ve'omer. Vayomer Shmuel al ha'am. Hashem asher asad. One second. Vayomer Shmuel al ha'am. Hashem asher asad Moshe v'et aharon. V'asher he'elat avotecha me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's the pasuk. Okay? And then the next pasuk is, or a few pasukim later, it says, Vayishlach Hashem et Yerubal v'et Bidam v'et Yiftach v'et Shmuel. Yerubal ze Gid'on v'lama nikra Shmuel Yerubal sh'asam riva im abal. Bidan ze Shimshon v'lama nikra Shmuel Bidan da'ati midan. Yiftach k'mashmo'o. Okay, ve'omer, I'm going to go back and explain this, but he's quoting these three psukim, okay, or four psukim. Ve'omer, Moshe v'aron b'chonav u'shmuel b'kor'e Shmo. Shakala katuv shlosha kale olam k'shlosha chamure olam. Lomar lecha Yerubal b'doro k'moshe b'doro, b'dam b'doro k'aron b'doro, yiftach b'doro k'shmuel b'doro, l'lamdecha shapilu akal shebekalim v'nitmana parnas al hatzibur, hareyu ka'avir sheba'avirim. Okay, I'm going to stop here before we get to the next pasuk because it's just too long to go without explaining. But what we're doing here is we're quoting all these pesukim. What are the pesukim, right? We start off with this issue of this kenim. It didn't mention all this kenim in Yisrael so that you don't start comparing and saying, well, he's not like Moshe, and he's not like Mozav Abi, he's not like Eldad Umedad. And then there's this pasuk where Shmuel says to the people, Hashem that made Aharon and Moshe who they are, right, and took us out of Mitzrayim. And then it continues, and Hashem who sent Yerubal and Bedan and Yiftach and Shmuel. Okay, so you have this concept that Hashem sent Moshe and Aharon. Hashem sent, right, in the same speech Shmuel is making, he says, and he sent Yerubal and Bedan and Yiftach and Shmuel. And then there's this other pasuk that says, compares Moshe v'Aharon b'chonav u'Shmuel b'korei Shmo. The Moshe, Aharon, and Shmuel are all equal. Now, if Moshe, Aharon, and Shmuel are all equal, and you have this psukim that compare what Hashem did to Moshe, Aharon, Shmuel, and it mentions these three other people. Who are these three other people? Yerubal, Bedan, and Yiftach. So Yerubal is Gidon. Gidon in Sefer Shoftim, he fights against the Baal and he gets called Yerubal. Bedan is Shimshon because he came from Dan, and Yiftach is Yiftach. Okay, so now what are they trying to tell you? That if you put them on a kaf maznaim, right, you put them on a scale, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, and you put Yerubal and Shim, right, you put Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach on the other side, they would be equal. Okay, even though clearly they're not equal. But the point is that they're equating them. That, what does that mean? The leader of every generation is equal to the strength of Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel and the power that they had. The it was a nice pirush that basically talked about that Yerubal, Shimshon, and Yiftach each had something not so great about them. Yerubal made this ephod that the people ended up worshipping for Avodah Zarah. Shimshon married Delilah. You know, we know Shimshon's a hazy character, okay? And Yiftach ends up sacrificing his daughter, right? So it makes a silly comment that ends up costing him the life of his daughter. So, and yet, all these people, despite their big flaws, they end up having the same significance as, okay, and that's what I say, even Kal Shebekalim, the simplest guy who becomes a Parnassa Latzibur becomes like an Abir Shavavirim, like a knight among the knights.
Like the Rashi about Noach.
Right, exactly, like Noach. Okay, Ve'omer, another pasuk. Okay, this is a very, very famous pasuk. In Zakei Mamre, when the Torah talks about if there's someone who goes against, that's the classic case for this. A Zakei Mamre is someone who basically, he rules in his city a certain ruling. The Jayanim go against him and say that's not the case. They bring him to the bigger Beit Din. And then until they finally get to the Beit Din, Agadol Shebi Yerushalayim. And the rabbis say, their thing, and he says his thing. And if they say he's not right, then he becomes a Zakei Mamre. There's actually a very interesting machloket there. About it comes up in Sanhedrin. There's an interesting machloket about whether it's in any case. And it's, what if he says, I have a Masoret? And they say, we have a Masoret. Does he become a Zakei Mamre? And some people say no. If he has a Masoret and he's going Masoret against Masoret or Masoret against their opinion, that's okay. It's only when he says, this is what I think, against the Beit Din's Masoret. Only in that case does he get killed. But the other guy, because what happens to this guy in the end? If he doesn't get killed right away, but if he goes back to his city and he teaches, like he taught before, after the Beit Din rules against him, then he gets killed. So one opinion says it's only if he's really chutzpahdik, in the sense that he says, my opinion is more important than the Masoret of the rabbis. Then he gets killed. But the other opinion says, no. Kedei shelo yirbu machlokot b'Yisrael, so as not to make machlokot, right, so that we have a central authority of Beit Din, exactly what we've been talking about. Even if the Beit Din says, this is what we think, and he says, but I have a Masoret against your logic, his Masoret is, he still gets killed. In other words, even if he has a much stronger argument, and they have a weaker argument, because always the Masoret is considered stronger, he basically, any kind of going against the Beit Din and going out and teaching in your city after the Beit Din Agadol is Kovea, you're wrong, right? We don't agree with you, let's say. Maybe not you're wrong, but we don't agree with you. He goes and teaches, right? He gets killed. And that's really the same issue here of trying to say the Beit Din has a central authority, and the Pasuk in the Torah says there, what do you do if this happens, if this Zakei Mamre comes and teaches something and it's against what you think? Ubata el, who decides ultimately? HaKohanim, HaLeviim, ve'el HaShofet asher yeh bayamim ahem. This goes back to that Mishnah we saw where the Kohanim were the ones deciding, right? That Kohanim and Shoftim function in similar roles. Okay, certainly over time in history it didn't work that way anymore, but at some point it did. Even in the time of the Mishnah, because we saw they went to the Kohanim for the Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, what does the Pasuk say? This is the very famous part. The judges that, or the Kohanim and the Levim, that will be in your day. How can you possibly go to a Dayan that's not living in your day? It has to be someone living in your day. So what does that mean? Right? That's the question. Va'omer. Al tomar mahaya shayamim arishonim hayatuvim me'ele. In other words, don't say, and this is a pasuk in Kohelet, okay, they end with this nice pasuk in Kohelet, don't say that, oh, how glorious those early days were and we're no longer there, right, and how would that work in with this? If you say, well, I'm not going to listen to the judges today because these judges today are, not so respectable. And I know that the judges then, in the time of the Torah, they were the real judges. Now, our judges aren't so miodama. I'm not gonna listen to them. That's exactly what you can't do. The pasuk says, "Go to the shoftim asher yeh bayamim." They might not be the greatest guys in the world, but you have to follow them. You have to have a central authority. Okay. What's very interesting about this whole thing, and then I'll let you make a comment, is that nowadays it's very hard for us to relate to this because there is no central authority anymore. Is you have to imagine. Right? It's so funny to me, that statement, Kedei shelo yirbu machlokot b'Yisrael. Right? There's millions of machlokot b'Yisrael. Everything is machlokot. There's Sfaradim, there's Ashkenazim, there's, within Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, there's a million different, everybody has a different opinion. Our whole religion is based on machlokot. But you have to remember the way things were then. They were living in a different time period. When the Beit HaMikdash was around, there was a much more central authority. And all these statements are being made in these generations following the Korban HaBayit, when they're still trying to centralize things. And slowly they're writing the Mishnah, they're compiling opinions, and they're realizing that there's different opinions, and they're trying to come to some sort of decisiveness about how we relate to this. In the end, they don't really succeed, because in the end, there ends up being no central authority. But they're still trying to hang on to it. Well, it's true nowadays. It's funny because on the one hand we don't have central authority. On the other hand, there's certain things that are alphabet. I mean, the calendar, which was such an issue for them, is no longer. It's a non-issue. You know, except for maybe if you say the Shomronim. Yeah, there's a few kitim that, you know, like sects that have their own. But it's a non-issue. But so many other things are big issues that, you know, it's clearly we're living in different times than they were living, and this is a good example of where they're still trying to maintain one central authority. Nowadays, it's basically, hopeless to try to do that.
You know, it's very timely because in the beginning of Megillat Ruth, you read in the days of the Shoftim, that's
mm-hmm.
how it starts. And they were really very corrupt then, so it must have been very, very difficult to listen to corrupt judges just because they were the authority.
Yes.
It seemed like it would be more right to not listen to them.
Right.
They were reflective of the people. I mean, the people were as corrupt as they were. So it wasn't like they thought, oh, look at this corrupt judge, we're so much better. Our leaders are reflective of who we are.
But not always.
Right.
Sometimes.
It's tough to know if everybody was like
yes,
that. It's a good question.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think in this time, the show.
What
do
you think?
I kept thinking about the whole case with Rav Elon.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. We definitely have corrupt leaders now, and it's.
Right. No, but here there was an attempt for a central authority too. The Chiloni, the state oriented Beit Mishpat, and the religious body of
who didn't agree with the Beit Mishpat, basically you're saying.
Oh, they did.
Well, some people, they didn't.
Everybody
right.
Else
and another
but you
rabbi
still see his followers
and he's teaching,
didn't.
And he's teaching in an official.
Right, he is teaching. In other words, it's not well accepted. You know, it's partially accepted, but it's not well accepted. Because everybody doubts everybody else. Nobody, right? Everybody, and it's exactly this issue. It's true that everybody, there's no authority, and that, what's the issue? Why is it so complicated to accept one authority? Because we all think differently. We all have different ways of viewing the world.
Court in this country.
No, but there is, because there is an authority, but no matter what's true, what society you're in, you always have people that will defy it.
Right.
And that won't accept it. They'll always be a minority. So you can't say that we do have authority.
Right.
Well,
it's
also the culture.
Right.
If there's a culture where there's a central body, people might not always be happy about it.
But they'll accept it.
Having it now, people, we don't even think that way.
Right. Right. It's a problem when it comes to religion, like you talk about the Supreme Court. When it comes to a government, it's simpler because we live in a country and you follow the laws of the country. Most people do follow the laws in the country. When it becomes religion, where people feel very passionate about their religious opinions, it becomes much more complicated because they'll just say, well, you're doing the religion. That's not my way of viewing religion and I won't accept you. Mm-hmm. Like the Beijing Rabbani has less power, so to speak, than the, right? If the Beijing Rabbani says you're not Jewish and they won't let you get married here, so they'll go get married somewhere else and their friends will view them as Jewish and, you know, the Beijing won't view them as Jewish. When it comes to religion, everybody says, well, I have my view of religion, and I don't necessarily agree with the Beijing's view of religion. When it comes to a government, at least in our country, thankfully, we have a government where people, for the most part, you know, there are some countries where there's anarchy and people don't agree with the government at all. And while we do have people who don't agree with the government does set laws and people, for the most part, follow them. But when it comes to religion, it's much more complicated because people really feel that's your view of religion, I have my view of religion, and it's harder for them to accept. Anyway, this is clearly a very big issue. We're going to move on. Okay. Natal makloma uta biyado. Tana rabanan. Keran shra auto, amam mikiso. Okay, here you see a little bit of a longer version. There we see just nishakal rosho. Here, amam mikiso. Okay, which is like a big deal. You know, that was, he would sit and people would stand. Or right, is that how it worked? Because then he made him stand now, I guess. I wonder if the rabbi, I don't know, there was a thing about the sitting and the standing. But anyway, Amam mikiso nishakol rosho, v'amar lo shalom alecha rabbi v'talmidi, rabbi shalimaditani Torah b'rabim, v'talmidi shani gozer alecha gzera v'atam mekayma k'talmid. Ashrei hador, and here he adds this statement, Ashrei hador shagdolim nishma'im l'ktanim. That means that the great ones are listened to by the, shagdolim nishma'im, the opposite. The gdolim listen to the k'tanim. Kavachomer ktanim l'gdolim. Okay, in other words, and then kavachomer, if the great ones listen to the small people, then obviously the small people listen to the greater people. Kavachomer chiyuvahi. What do you mean it's a kavachomer? It's a chiyuv for the smaller people to listen to the great people. Ela mitoch shagdolim nishmim l'ktanim nosim ktanim kavachomer batzman. It's almost like you could say they set an example. right? In other words, people then understand from them, if the Gedolim were listening to the Ketanim, then obviously the Ketanim are going to listen to the Gedolim. And I don't know the answer to this. I actually want to look in Safrai. But it's interesting. The next parak is basically going to talk about the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah and go into all sorts of issues of Rosh Hashanah. But the first Mishnah really connects with the last parak. I don't know why that is. It's almost like they split the Mishnah in a strange spot. But anyway, we're going to keep on with our issue of the Beit Din. Ra'uhu Beit Din v'chol Yisrael. This is the Mishnah we saw yesterday. If the Beit Din and all of Yisrael sees the new moon, nichkeru ha'edim, and then they check the witnesses, v'lo hispiku lomar mikudash ad shechashecha, harei ze mu'ubar. But for whatever reason, they didn't get to say mikudash until it got dark. Automatically, they're going to make Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. Okay? Ra'uhu Beit Din bilvad. What if just the Beit Din saw the new moon? What's the problem? They can't both be judges and edim. So what do they say? Ya'amdu shnayim v'ya'idu bifnehem. They'll bring another two and they'll testify before them. Okay? V'yamru mekudash mekudash. Ra'u shlosha v'hem Beit Din. Okay, what if three people who are all the Beit Din see it? Ya'amdu ashnayim, the two who saw it, v'yoshivu mechabrehem etzel hayachid v'ya'idu bifnehem. Okay, they'll then testify before them. Okay, 1 second. Ya'amdu shnayim. Right, even though they all saw it, they basically, two of them become the Edim. One remains the Dayan, even though he saw it himself. He stays a Dayan, and then they add two more to them, so they have a Beit Din of Shlosha. V'yomru mekudash mekudash, she'en ha'yachid ne'eman al yidei atzmo. Now here we learn that a Yachid can't be the Dayan by himself. Okay, we're gonna talk about this, because in Sanhedrin it talks about there's certain cases where a Yachid mumche can function like a Dayan. In other words, there's two options for a Batei Din. Either you have three Dayanim, and then they could be anybody, as long as they're not like Psulim or something. Or, right, we see this in Hatarat Nedarim, right? We just take any three guys, and they function as a Beit Din for Hatarat Nedarim. But if you have a Yachid who's a Mumche, he's a real knowledgeable guy, he can function by himself as a Dayan.
For the moon.
What?
For the moon.
For the moon, yeah.
He saw that.
Right. That's okay. That's a little different, but that's also because that's not necessarily a court thing. I think but there yachid is koveya the mum. You need like a specialist, but that's a specialist. Here we're talking about if you want a regular court to judge people. If you have a yachid who knows what he's doing, he's called a yachid mumche. He has a status like a beit din, but not necessarily for everything. Okay. Now they're going to talk about why they need to give all these cases. Lamali lamina ra'u beit din b'chol Yisrael. Why does it have to say, and all of Israel, right? We talked about this, how it's clearly a little exaggerated. So the Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't like to accept that it's a Sifruti book, right? It's a literary device they're using. The Gemara takes it literally. Why does it say that? It's drift. Yeah, it has to say that. Why? Sakadat HaChamina, you might have thought, Ho'il v'ra'uhu Beit Din b'chol Yisrael, since the Beit Din and all of Israel saw it, Ifarsmala, it becomes popular. Everybody knows it's well known. And once it's well known, you would think, how can, right here again, we're getting to these issues. How can the Beit Din be koveya something against what's so well known to everybody? The loli abruha, and therefore maybe you should make it a leap month. Kamashmalan, that you do. In other words, despite that, what's more important? Again, where do we get into this? What's more important? The words of the Beit Din saying mikudash. That statement, that power of the Beit Din to say the words mikudash is more important than what everybody knows to be the truth. Okay? The kevan ditana le'ra'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael nechkiru ha'edim lamali. So why do they need to say nechkiru ha'edim also? Wouldn't it be enough to say, even if ra'u Beit Din v'chol Yisrael and they didn't say mikudash ad shechashecha, why do they say even en nechkiru ha'edim? Hachi kamar. This is what they're coming to say. Inami, even also nechkeru ha'edim v'lo espiku lomar mekudat al shechashecha harei ze mu'ubar. Even if they also, not just that everybody knew about it, but they even checked out the witnesses, and the witnesses checked out to be good. Still, we don't do it if they didn't have enough time to say mekudash. V'keva detana al shechashecha harei ze mu'ubar lamali. That's once it says al shechashecha. Harei ze mu'ubar lamali lamine chakirat ha'edim klal. Once they say, until it got dark and they didn't make it a, you know, then it's going to become a ubar. Why do they need to tell us about the Chakirat Eidim Klal? Now they say, Itzrich, Salka Data Chamina, Tehavi Chakirat Eidim, Kitchilat Din. Umikudash Mikudash, Kigmar Din. Belikdashe Belel, Yamidi, Tehavi Adine Mamonot. What do we know about Dine Mamonot? Now, in general, the Beit Din didn't work at night. Okay, Beit Din can't do a Psak Din at night. But there's certain cases in Dine Mamonot, okay, as opposed to Dine Nefashot, where if they started the mishpat during the day, they'd be allowed to finish it at night. Ditznan dinei mamonot anim b'yom v'gomrim b'layla. You can finish it at night. As hachinami mekadshim b'layla. You might have thought that this is like dinei mamonot. Why would we think this is more like dinei mamonot and not dinei nefashot? Because just like dinei mamonot, we do an abeit din of 3, and dinei nefashot, we do an abeit din of 27. The kiddush hachodesh is also done in abeit din of 3. So you would think that Kiddush Chodesh is like Dine Mamonot, that if you started it during the day, which is exactly our Mishnah, you'd be allowed to finish it at night. Comes the Mishnah to tell you, no, there's no Kiddush Chodesh at night, which we talked about, and that's why we said, if you forget Yal V'Yavo and Arvit, you don't go back. Therefore, it's coming to teach you, even if Nechiru Aydin, and they opened the judgment, they started the judgment, it still doesn't help, because what's Koveya here? The Psak Din is what's Koveya. Ve'ema Hachinami, why don't we say that you could actually... If you wanted to say, maybe you really could be Mekadesh, finish up at night. Amar kra ki chok l'Israel hu mishpat l'Elohe Yaakov. Ema tabe chok b'gmar din. V'kakari l'rachmana mishpat. Ma mishpat bayom, av hachanami bayom. Okay, so what do they say? Chok l'Israel hu mishpat l'Elohe Yaakov. When is it a chok? What's a chok? The gmar din. And the gmar din is the mishpat here. Okay, because what's this? The chok l'Israel hu mishpat l'Elohe Yaakov is about the Kiddush HaChodesh. So then the Kiddush HaChodesh is a chok and it's a mishpat. What do we know about a mishpat? You only do mishpat bayom. So therefore, and the chok is the psak din. So the chok has to be done when the mishpat is done, which is during the day. They make a gzerah of the, you know, a hekesh of the chok and the mishpat. So just like the mishpat is done bayom, so also the chok is done bayom. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll continue from here tomorrow. Same time.